The final podcast is going to focus in on theme E. Theme E is called Religion, Crime and Punishment. Now, what you need to know at the beginning of this unit is just basically what are some different types of crimes. I'm not going to go over them because there are so many. The word crime is an offence which is punishable by law. It usually, the definition of it means, is when you're going against the laws of a certain country. Or doing something wrong. Now, we're going to divide this into two separate sections, but some of it will actually be the same in terms of Islam and Christianity say the same thing. Firstly, we need to know what are the aims of punishment. The aims of punishment are retribution, reformation, deterrent, and protection. To explore these aims of punishment, we need to know some reasons why people commit crime in the first place. And there are lots of different reasons why people commit crime. Some people commit crime due to poverty. Some people commit crime due to upbringing. Some people commit crime due to addiction, greed, mental health, hate, jealousy, or opposition to an unjust law. This is all the same in both Islam and Christianity. Now, the four aims of punishment, retribution, deterrent and reformation, and of course, protection. Retribution generally takes the idea that if someone commits a crime, they deserve to have the thing done exactly back to them. So, for example, if you commit murder, you deserve to have been murdered yourself. Deterrent is something that's put in place to stop someone from committing the same crime again. For example, if someone knew if they committed a murder, they would spend their entire rest of their days in prison or face the death penalty if it was here in the UK, maybe some people might not commit crime or the crime of murder. We don't know, but that's an example of a deterrent. Reformation is where you try to change people and try to get them to change their behaviour and steer them away from crime. One example of this is community service. But we'll look at punishments in a few detail shortly. And lastly, protection. Protection takes dangerous people out of society. For example, putting people in prison and taking them out of general society, where they cannot commit crime. Now, there are many different types of punishment. Some of these include prison, capital punishment, which is the death penalty, corporal punishment, which we'll come back to shortly, community service, fines, antisocial behaviour orders, and lots of other different minor things such as tags, for example, where people can wear a tag and then they're kept an eye on by the authorities. Community orders are also things that are also used. So there are many different types of punishment, not just here in the UK, but also around the world. Now, the two types of punishment that we are going to look in quite a lot of detail at are the death penalty, corporal punishment, and prison, as these are often punishments that are handed out generally within society, but not here in the UK, where capital punishment and corporal punishment is not permitted. So let's deal with capital punishment and corporal punishment first. Capital punishment, the death penalty, is something that is done to someone. For example, they are hung, they may be given the lethal injection or the electric chair. The death penalty was abolished in the UK in 1965. The last person tried and given the death penalty in the UK was in 1964. But there are many countries in the world where the death penalty is still used. The United States is one of them. Iran, China, and many places, other places around the world. In some Muslim countries, where they have something called Sharia law, the death penalty is used. So, for example, in places like Qatar or Dubai, certain crimes could be punished by using the death penalty. The death penalty, as I said earlier, is when someone may be hung, given the electric chair, or indeed given a lethal injection. It depends on the type of country. Now, Sharia law allows for the death penalty to be carried out for a series of offences. Those guilty of murder are likely to be sentenced to die. However, an expression of mercy, which is greatly valued, the victim's family has to decide whether to show mercy upon receipt of compensation. This is called blood money. The Quran can be interpreted to justify the use of the death penalty and the acceptance of compensation. In the Quran it says, "Do not take life which God has made sacred except by right. This is what he commands you to do, and that you may use your reason." It also says in the Quran, "But if the culprit is pardoned by his aggrieved brother, this shall be adhered to fairly, and the culprit shall pay what is due in a good way. This is an alleviation from your Lord and an act of mercy." So this suggests that for something such as murder, if the person is willing to accept it, that blood money is acceptable. This would not be acceptable in the UK, where this type of compensation would not be accepted. But in countries where Sharia law is practiced, this is allowed. The death penalty is also justified in Islam by the fact in the Quran it says an eye for an eye, which again could justify the use of using the death penalty. In Sharia law, in addition to murder, the death penalty might be used, though not in all cases, for treason, terrorism, piracy, rape, adultery, or homosexual activity. The death penalty for these crimes may be implemented according to a particular state's interpretation of Sharia law, which does vary from country to country. There may be some Muslims who don't agree with the death penalty, but generally, in most of the Muslim countries where it is used, the teachings of the Quran is generally used as an example of acceptance that it's correct. In Christianity, for example, the death penalty, like in Islam, some Christians do agree with the death penalty and say that it is acceptable. Again, in the Bible, it says eye for an eye. Some people could say this does justify the use of the death penalty for certain crimes. In some countries, it is used for offences such as murder and rape, and is accepted by law in those countries. The United States is a good example of that. In many of the southern states of America, the death penalty is used. And as I said earlier, the Bible gives us a couple of examples where it could be considered acceptable. Whoever sheds human blood by human shall their blood be shed. And eye for an eye. Not all Christians agree with the death penalty, though, because in the Bible it says, "Thou shalt not kill," and all life is sacred. This could tell us that actually in some ways the death penalty should not be used, and that other methods of punishment should be used instead. Now, corporal punishment is generally not something that is used in Christianity. That isn't to say it can't be. Going back many years ago, corporal punishment was used in the UK. Corporal punishment was permitted in schools in the UK until 1987, when it was banned. So corporal punishment means when you inflict pain upon the body. Now, in Sharia law, for example, corporal punishment is widely used as a way of dealing with people that have committed crimes. In many Muslim countries where Sharia law is used, such as Iran, Saudi Arabia, or the United Arab Emirates, things such as public caning or flogging can be used for offences such as gambling, drinking, selling alcohol, or sexual promiscuity. Some might say that corporal punishment is regarded as a violation of human rights, but some Muslims argue that the imprisonment, depriving people of their freedom for a long time, or keeping them away from loved ones, is far less humane than fleeting infliction of pain through corporal punishment. In the Quran it says, "Cut off the hands of thieves, whether they are a man or woman, as a punishment for what they have done, a deterrent from God." So therefore, some Christians may say that corporal punishment is perfectly acceptable, and as a way of deterrent and stopping people from committing crime. Again, various different people will have different views on whether they think it's right or wrong. So in Islam and Christianity, over the years, corporal punishment has been used and in the case of in countries where Sharia law is used, it is still done. In Christianity, though, some are against corporal punishment for the fact it's not a peaceful method and promotes violence. Jesus was a pacifist. So therefore, many Christians do not agree with this as a form of discipline. Jesus believed in the idea of blessed are the peacemakers, and therefore we shouldn't use corporal punishment. Christianity, though, does agree that prison is a way of allowing somebody, A, to be punished, and B, to try and reform their behaviour. Muslims also believe in the idea that prison has a purpose, in that taking dangerous criminals off the street, but also allowing some to try and change their behaviour and offer reform. So there are many different types of punishment, and some will be associated to others. Like I said, prison would be associated to protection, community service to reformation, and some say the death penalty or corporal punishment would be moved towards deterrent, and certainly retribution would link to the death penalty. So there are many different types of punishment and crime that go together. And as we can see, Islam and Christianity have varying views on the uses of all of them. They also have the idea around forgiveness. Christians believe in the idea of forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, which comes from the Lord's Prayer, which is the most famous prayer that Jesus ever delivered. Jesus also forgave those who crucified him, for when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. So again, this shows us that Jesus forgave those who crucified him on the cross. Muslims also do believe in the idea of forgiveness, but the idea of forgiveness truly can only come from God. In the Quran, it says, Allah is the only true judge. So it falls into two categories in Islam. Forgiveness from God, and only God can truly forgive and will only forgive those who are truly sorry and who intend to follow the faith properly in the future. Forgiveness can come from humans, and humans should try and forgive each other. They can ask God for forgiveness and seek out God's forgiveness. And we don't know, there is no limit to God's forgiveness. Bismillah Rahmani Rahim, God is most merciful. This tells us and allows us to consider that God is all-forgiving. But we don't know in terms of how much God's limit stretches. That can only maybe be determined on the Day of Judgment. However, it is right for humans to seek forgiveness, and limited forgiveness between humans can be given, of course. But the ultimate authority on forgiveness is God. As it says in the Quran, Let them pardon and forgive. Do you not wish that God should forgive you? God is the most forgiving and merciful.